There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. So today we actually have a very special guest with us, our very good friend, Dr. David Phelps. David Phelps was a general dentist business owner for 27 years until in 2004, his daughter Jenna faced leukemia and a life-saving organ transplant. He quickly discovered that bouncing from chair to chair wasn't an option as he reinforced his attention to what mattered most, which is his family. There's a plan B that Dr. Phelps has been using and has helped hundreds of dentists and professional practice owners use to create consistent, predictable cash flow and to create a freedom number instead of retirement age. He has recently authored a book, What's Your Next?, which we will heavily get into in this podcast. We want to welcome husband, father, author, and retired doctor, Dr. David Phelps. Hey, thanks so much, David Phelps, for being with us today.
Oh, Joni and Sean, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. Well, Sean and I have the utmost respect for you. I remember the very first time that we met you at the Collective Genius Mastermind several years back. You were just so humble and kind to us and genuinely just want to know more about us and our personal stories. So thank you for that.
Well, I think that's one of the keys to life is really, you know, not just running on the surface, right? Because it's easy to do that, but actually, you know, getting to know people and being discerning about it, but know people in more depth and more story, because as entrepreneurs, I think we all have a habit, and I certainly did, of trying to always run fast, running fast. And not that I didn't appreciate people, but I'm much more appreciative today about relationships. And that's one of the things I talked about in the book, is why relationships are so important.
Yeah, I thought the foreword that Dan Kennedy had wrote in your book, I thought it kind of embodied you and defined you. So David embodies all the characteristics of one who does not follow the majority, but who lives life, does business on his own terms, and is not dictated to by others. He's a renegade. So I thought that defined you well.
It does. And now that we're getting into the book, I would like to kind of highlight the book, What's Your Next? We just finished reading this. It's an amazing book. And I want to get into what your purpose was behind the book and get into your story. You have an amazing story.
Well, you know, part of me writing a book, and I've done a few books, and, you know, Joni, you've done a book, amazing book as well. You know, a lot of it is just getting out of our own head, our experience. So it's a little bit like journaling for me to get it out, go back in my past and look at the lessons that I've learned, because there's always lessons in life. I never look at life as failures. I look at life as there's always lessons. If you're not trying things every day, every year differently to not just improve your life, but improve the people that you care about most, which probably starts for us, you know, with our family, but it can extend beyond that. If you're not trying something different and therefore testing different things and not having everything work, then you're not really living life. So the book was really me just going back and saying, what have I learned, you know, through the twists and turns, the ups and downs, what could I potentially give back to other people who are on the same path, the same journey, the entrepreneur's journey, which I think is an exciting journey. It comes with twists and turns and challenges and obstacles, but you know, you guys know as well as anybody what that looks like. And I think without challenges in life, what's life worth living, right? I mean, that's part of it. That's just part of it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. We had Corey Boatwright on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he when we asked him about entrepreneurship, he said, from Elon Musk, that it's like taking broken glass and chewing
on
it.
Broken glass.
I thought that was a little hardcore, but I think it's an incredible story of, and that few, I think, cross that bridge, which you're very successful at helping people, you know, take a very successful career in dentistry, and then, you know, but there's more to life, and there's more And I think in your case, right, it really took your daughter to see that. If correct me if I'm wrong, yeah. Can you get into a little bit that story and
Yeah, yeah. So I think one of the problems that we often face in life is that we look to other people, and I think social media, you know, sometimes brings out the worst of this, but we look at other people that we think or look like on the outside that it's all about success. Mm-hmm. And then we start to define success by what society says success is. Well, mm-hmm. society says it's usually like, how much money are you making, mm-hmm. right? How big is your business? How widespread is it? And I'm not saying that's wrong, but it has to start with your vision. What's your personal vision? And I think for couples that are listening today, this is really, really important. You got to have separate visions. Then you put the visions together. Mm-hmm. So when I start today with people we help in Freedom Founders, again, who are successful by society standards or by industry standards, mm-hmm. but there's still always pieces missing in our lives. I mean, I guarantee you everybody listening to this knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You could be having the greatest year ever, but there's still pieces that are missing. You're thinking, well, I wonder why. What's missing? Do I need to grow bigger? Do I need to run faster? And so for me, I was in that mode. I was, you know, back in my earlier years, yes, I was in dentistry. That was my chosen profession. I went to school to learn and train to do that. And really, Joni and Sean, I took that path because I thought it was a safe path. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking for safety.
Right.
You know, here's an entrepreneur who I grew up in life, you know, learning to make my own money because my parents wouldn't give me stuff. So if I want a better bike, I want mm-hmm. a better tennis racket, I want special Stan Smith shoes. That dates me, but my parents wouldn't provide that. So I had to go learn how to do it. And then I picked the safe route of like going to school to getting this higher education. Now, nothing wrong with that, yeah. but safety really wasn't what I was about, but I chose that path. But on the side, I started buying real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, even before I became a dentist, I was actually you guys before I became a dentist. in a way, not to where you are today, but my point is I started buying real estate before I actually was licensed as a dentist. And I did both. Okay. I did both along the way. And I was a grinder. I was a grinder. And my daughter's health issues, as you mentioned, I tell the story in the book, her health issues starting with leukemia when she was very young, then epileptic seizures, and then a liver transplant at age 12, mm-hmm. was finally the final punch in my face to say, wait, David, why are you running this way? What are you trying to achieve? What's this really all about? Mm-hmm. You know, is it about piling up as much money and assets as you can because you think that's going to be like the end all to your life? Heck no. Mm-hmm. Well, I realized finally that I was taking too many things for granted. I was playing this someday syndrome. Mm-hmm. Someday when I get all these things just right, the business is right, and I got enough money in the bank or enough assets or enough real estate, whatever it is, you know, then I'll take a pause and I'll start enjoying life. See, that never happens to us as entrepreneurs. There is never enough. So you've got to have a vision where you actually get more explicit about the other piece of life that I believe are very important. And I have a framework in the book called the Five Freedoms. It's a pyramid. And at the base of the Five Freedoms is financial or economic freedom. Now, that's important, mm-hmm. right? We need to strive for that. How can we become more independent so we don't have to trade time for dollars every day, mm-hmm. or do what we want to do, but not be forced to do it? And then secondly, next tier up is time. I mean, really, what do we want money for or annuity income for? Well, it buys us time. That's really what we all want. Like, we want more time, more discretionary time. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not important to be doing something that's satisfying and having a business or a passion about something, but you want to be able to buy back time so you can be flexible and not be at the grinder like I was when my daughter was sick and in the hospital. And actually down where you guys are, it was in Houston. So I was down in Houston and out of my practice. And that's when I had the chance to really stop for the first time in many, many years and actually think about what is this really mm-hmm. about. And that's the epiphany where I decide I'm selling my practice. I'm not doing that ball and chain anymore. Even though it had provided a strong, steady income, mm-hmm. it wasn't serving my life. And that was my realization.
Wow.
So can you explain, and you just went into some of it, but what is a true freedom lifestyle? You know, you defined it a little bit there, but...
I think a freedom lifestyle is where you get to... determine where your time is allocated. So time, I mentioned that just a minute ago in Five Freedoms, time, a location where you can live your life, do your business, whatever, in whatever location you choose. I certainly couldn't do that in my brick and mortar practice. I had to be there, wherever there was every day. So time, location, and then the money piece. How driven are you by having to get up every day and transact products or services for money? Well, mm-hmm. We all start out that way. But how can you get to a point where you're not forced to deal with people, vendors, customers, patients that you don't want to deal with. So part of time, location, and money freedom, and then it's you know, who you get to deal with, who you choose to deal with, where, when, and how, what kind of format. It doesn't happen overnight. There's a price to be paid. There's a sacrifice period. But my point is, with a good vision that you keep right in front of you every day, you're making decisions not on bigger's better, but on am I getting to my vision, to my vision, in my as a couple, to our vision faster. That's where the focus needs to be, and where it's typically not for most people.
That's and there's a lot there to unravel, but the, you know, as a couple, we get asked that quite a bit, you know, as far as couples getting on the same page and sharing that vision. Do you, what's been your experience as you've mentored, maybe your personal relationship, but also you've mentored, you know, a lot of couples. And so explain how do you come together and create that synergy that, you know, can, because we get that asked quite a bit, like how, you know, Joni and I are very blessed that, you know, at a very young age, we had a very similar vision, and it was there wasn't a lot of contrast, or we didn't, you know, we drove the same direction. So if people aren't on that same, you know, have kind of separate visions, how do you come together and mesh well, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, in every couple's dynamics are going to be different. Mm-hmm. In fact, more times than not, we marry somebody who is kind of opposite in many, many features, features, yes. Right. But we do that well, I get excited and passionate when I'm around people like you, but normally, in places where it's not my tribe per se, Sean, I'm like you, I'm an introvert. Mm-hmm. I sit back, I watch, I observe. Now my wife, like Joni, my wife's the one that's like, let's go do this. So she's like, she pushes that. So realizing that there are going to be differences, but the complementary features of each other are what makes us alive. So we have to recognize that each of us, typically in a partnership or a marriage, there's different things that feed us. And so getting an understanding of what that is for each person is very important. You can go online. I think Tony Robbins developed something called the 6 human needs. You can Google something like 6 human needs, Tony Robbins. There's a quick test, and he goes through, an assessment of what drives you as a person. And there's different ones, like mine is my top two are growth and contribution. Mm-hmm. So that's one segment. And then also significance. Mm-hmm. Those are my top two. Now there's others like certainty versus uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So stability versus like, let's fly by the seat of our pants. There's love and connection. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the 5 love languages, right. You know, another book that's great, right? So you got to identify what your partner needs are. And now you can mesh those together. You need to recognize what they are. So I'll just tell you a quick aside, but I think this will be good. So here I talk about all the things I've learned in life, right? Mm-hmm. Wrote the book. So you think that I had it all figured out. little secret, I don't. Okay. We're always evolving. We're always learning. Okay. So we, my wife and I, Candace and I, we typically in the summer, because we're down in the heat with you guys in Texas. So like we make a move to the north. Like oftentimes we'll go to Colorado. We'll go for a month, month and a half, just rent an Airbnb and just enjoy cooler weather. It's fun. And so we were coming back from our last trip last summer. And my wife drives the Rubicon, right? Okay, so she's the go-getter, like she's the Joni.
That's funny, because I have a Rubicon too.
I'm just simply hanging on for dear life. Yeah. because she drives like this, you know, and that's why she drives, because she gets sick and tired of my driving, because I'm in my head and I won't take risks when I'm on the road. You drive, I'll hang on, right? Yeah. So that's how we roll. Anyway, we come back. And we had a great time, right? A great time. And we get back and I quickly get into David mode, which is, look, I love what I do. But I'm a high urgency. I like things done, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't like to let things sit. That's me. It's my nature. Mm-hmm. And so right away, the bad move on my part, we get back from this great trip, and like the next day, of course, you know, I got some of the mail, and it's like, she helps me with some stuff. She's not dug into deep in the business, but she helps me on some stuff, some administrative stuff. And I take this stack of different mail pieces, right? And some of them are like, you know, irritating to me. Not irritated at her, but they're irritating to me.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys get that?
Joni knows all about that. Yeah.
You and Sean are a lot alike. I'm just saying. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I listening to Sean or am I listening to David?
Oh, so it's the big reveal today. So I go in, you know, after this great trip, and I'm back to David mode, you know, back to business. I got to get some stuff done off the plate. So it's like I kind of dropped him there. I don't even know if I even said, "Hey, babe." I'm not mean. I'm like, again, it's not stuff that she did wrong at all. It's just like I'm Mr. Urgency. So drop this stuff on her desk. And it's like, you know, kind of like, what's going on with this and this and this. You know, it's just my nature. I wasn't, mm-hmm. But see, she reads it a different way. Mm-hmm. And so I have to understand. And this was the big snap. So she bit back, right? So that's what I'm saying. She bit back, mm-hmm. and it's like, wow. So first I go to, well, wait a minute. We just had this great trip. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. See, I was too quick to snap back in. So my point is, with couples, you have to understand who each other are and go with that. But I have to step back and realize that my pace, the way I roll, is not the way everybody else rolls. Doesn't mean other people are bad people. People on my staff, I often say, nobody can keep up with me. But is that a fault or a feature? It's a feature. It's not a fault. Just because I run fast doesn't mean my way is the best way. I have to learn to work with other people and utilize their skill sets and resources. Just realize I am who I am in my unique way, sometimes not necessarily good, but other people have benefits too. So as a couple, just realize that you're different people for a reason, but you need to do some work to understand who each other is and respect that and learn to mesh your styles. So that's a big can of worms there, but you guys get it.
No, yeah. I totally agree with that, what you just said, because I mean, there's time, I mean, for me as a woman as well, I have to understand Sean, you know, same thing. I need to understand him, why he's like that. And, you know, I agree with your vision too. We both have, you know, similar visions, yes, but there's certain things that I have on my vision and certain things that Sean hasn't, but we both have to come together and be aligned.
Yeah. One recently that was a little bit contrary to each other that we had to learn to accept. Much like you, and I've mentioned you in the podcast several times, because one thing that you did was you had encouraged us to take the
improv class.
And I talk about that a lot. Cause I think that was one of the best things we ever did. We had a blast, but it also got us out of, we talk about it all the time. But yeah, that takes a lot for me. And one thing that Joni and I really realized is she's, as the business has evolved and we implemented a COO and we're trying to, you know, find our next next chapter and stuff. She really likes to do events and videos and all that.
And that's not Sean's thing. And no, he understands that.
And so we're learning to that. I really have no desire at all. And if we go to, you know, events together and stuff like that, it takes a ton of energy out of me. And she understands that. And she understands that I had to really put myself forward and put forth with her. It's like, just comes natural. She's having fun. It's bubbly. And so we learned to balance that. There's some things that I got to let her just go do her thing. And there's times that she's got to accept that I don't want to do it. Yeah.
So, it's work, but you have to be willing to put in the work.
So.
So, Sean, you're not doing weekly improv down there. I can't catch your show. I thought I was going to come catch your show.
I mean, it truly was one of the greatest experiences, because it got us out of our comfort zone. We learned how to go big and
fail big.
Fail big. Mm-hmm. And what is that?
Yeah, it helps us to get over ourselves.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, we think there's a certain way we are supposed to act, mm-hmm. right? If we're our business, our job, our title, you know, we need to act a certain way. And it's like, you know, you have to learn to get over yourself. I needed that in a big way. That's why I recommend it to you guys, because I knew, same for me, Sean, we're so similar. And for me to get up there and be impromptu, oh my gosh, are you kidding? I'm so much in my head all the time. I have to think everything through. I got to see exactly how it's going to look. And in improv, you don't have a chance
to think about it.
You just got to, you got to roll, right? And so you have to learn to laugh. Yeah. And when you screw something up or something happens that's not the norm, like maybe you're giving a talk in front of a group and you're all of a sudden the PowerPoint goes down. Yeah. It's like, So in my old days, I was like frozen up and said, well, gosh, I guess we need to come back and do this another time because I can't go on. It's like, No, you just laugh and say, and just make it up.
And roll with it. Yeah. And just roll it. Yeah. And laugh at yourself. Because, yeah, I'm like you. I'm analyzing everything in my head. And I visualize everything almost ahead of time. And it's like, you can't do that in improv, because that was the hardest thing, was when you had to play off whatever. Because I had in my head what I was going to say. And then the guy before me would totally, you know, take it on. Yeah,
that's life, yeah. Right? We love to plan. Yeah. I mean, we love to plan it out. I mean, change is something that most of us don't like at all. But I've had to learn to embrace change. And so now I'm not, see, improv and just going through life, I've learned that change and things that happen that I have no control over, can't predict. Well, just even like the economy now. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, look at the disruption that we've had over this last year, and we'll continue on. Does that make any business owner like feel really secure?
No.
If you're a person who you can't stand change, but if you're a person who says, look, this is life, there's always new opportunities, I got to be flexible and adaptable, and just like improv, I got to learn to just flow, go and learn to react, be react in a positive way, not defensively, not pull back, like, mm-hmm. you know, and be paralyzed. In improv, you just move on. Mm-hmm. You pick it up and you grab whatever was left to you, and you push it forward, right?
I agree 100%. Great.
Absolutely. So let's get into I want to get into your Freedom Founders Mastermind. You know, explain passive investments that you focused in your Freedom Founders Mastermind, and what does annuity income look like, and if you can explain all that.
Well, that comes from what the three of us know so well, and what I learned at a very early age, is that tangible assets, hard assets, and that could be real estate, that could be equipment, that could be a real business where you as the owner are not required, or the business is not dependent upon you. Those assets, if set up properly, acquired properly, mm-hmm. managed well, provide what I call annuity income. So you set it up once, and sometimes the setup, depending upon how complicated the business might mm-hmm. be, or just equipment or real estate. My goodness. Starting with what I started with, and you guys are so good, you know, single family, mm-hmm. and then you can evolve to other assets. But, you know, assets that once you set them up and either you're managing them, or better yet, you have somebody else that manages them, that provides that regular sustainable mm-hmm. income. We know how well that works, because the asset itself is never depleted. Mm-hmm. The asset's not depleted. See, that's the difference between typical traditional retirement accounts, which financial advisors say, well, you build up as much as you can, you stack it up, you accumulate, mm-hmm. and then when you're ready to, quote, retire, meaning no more active income, then we'll put you in safe investments like T-bills and CDs today, which mm-hmm. are paying what, like next to nothing. So now you have to start depleting those assets. With real estate or to other tangible assets, you don't deplete them unless there's a reason you want to sell and capture equity. You just let those run. And so well-managed, that's the annuity income that sets you free. That's the base of the five freedoms. Mm-hmm. When you have enough annuity income that doesn't require you to go to work every day, then you've got, you know, the financial freedom that allows you to really expand your whole life. Now, it doesn't mean you quit. Right. And most of us are, it's just like, what's your next? So now you get to evolve. Now you get to say, well, that was fun.
What's next?
Who am I really now? What can I do mm-hmm. next that still involves kind of the people I like to be around? And for me, I love real estate. I just don't want to be boots on the ground doing it. So Freedom Founders really came about because of, I knew the problems that my colleagues in dentistry and medicine have. They're hard workers. Mm-hmm. They're high income, high tax, mm-hmm. never have enough net worth, never can get off the hamster wheel, even though they have high incomes and can live a nice lifestyle. The big problem is when they're getting towards the end, or when their physical durability of doing the thing starts wearing out, or they just get to a point in life, they never have enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, rarely do they have enough today, and it's getting harder and harder. For any business owner, it's getting harder.
Right.
So if you're not building really strong assets to provide that annuity income, then you're potentially in trouble. And I think you could start that, you know, anytime, but the sooner the better.
Yeah, I bought an extra book for our dentist because, I mean, he loves real estate, but yeah, it's the same struggle. Do you find, as you mentor, there's a big piece that where you're almost psychology, you know, or psychologist dealing with them? Because to me, it would seem very hard for them to get off that hamster wheel. Because I think when they become a doctor or a dentist, it's this certain persona they have to portray to the world. And it's like, and it's debt that they end up getting to keep up with this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But how do you get them? I guess, you know, out of that mindset that, you know, they might drive a used car until they hit their freedom number and have enough annuity income to pay for that, their lifestyle. But it's going to take some sacrifices that I don't know, psychology-wise, they would be able to overcome. Do you find that difficult? Or?
Well, it's the old adage that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm-hmm. So my point is, I love talking to younger people. But a lot of younger people are just like we were. We know it all, right? Right. We got this whole thing. So younger people typically don't want to listen to their wise and gray-haired old elders until later on. So really, it's people come to us when there's a message, because, you know, like everybody, you know, we market. You know, I do market because I you have to put your message out there. You have to tell the world what you're about if you want to help people. So we do market, and so with marketing, the right message, you're going to attract the right people. People who are like, no, I don't need that. I got to figure out, well, they're not going to be attracted. So the people who step up, typically, to answer your question, Sean, they're ready to make a change. Mm-hmm. They don't know exactly what it is, but they're ready for a change. They've done it the hard way, the long way. They don't see their current path is going to do it. So they're looking for, is there a better path? And of course, most are skeptical, as they should be. Is this just another one of those things? But yes, psychologically, it starts with a vision. Mm-hmm. Because of my own story and the countless others that we've helped transform, change their vision as a couple. Yes, you have to get off that hamster wheel of using a consumption debt oriented lifestyle just because you can make the money to pay back the debt, realizing that that's not getting where they want to go. Mm-hmm. We focus on the freedom number. Where are your assets now? How can we help you redeploy those assets or debt equity that's not doing anything, and get them into what we love is tangible real estate that starts producing that income. We reverse engineer. What's your freedom number? What's your burn rate? Mm-hmm. And sometimes their burn rate's too high. So, well, you know, I can get you to freedom sooner if you'd be willing, as you said, drive the older car, cut some things back. Right. Now it's their choice. But when you can show them demonstrably how by cutting back some and then getting their assets deployed correctly, that they can cross the freedom line sooner. Like, what if it made 5 years difference if they just carved off a few things or paid off certain debt or got rid of the vacation home or the boat or whatever, right? And when the couples can see that, see, now you're demonstrating some certainty, a milestone. When people see the goal line, they'll do things. Most of the world just works off this thing. Well, I'll just like retire someday, and I'll hope my financial advisor can tell me I can. Well, today, most financial advisors are telling most high-income people, no, you can't, because their game plan is, no, we don't know how much you're going to need. So they just keep working. It's very frustrating. I get a lot of doctors who've worked really, really hard. They've had really good practices, but they are just spent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they haven't felt like anybody's given them permission to look at a different way and come up with the numbers that will show them you actually are there. Many are there. They just don't know it. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's eye-opening when they can see that. And it changes their demeanor, changes like their eyes light up. Even if they're not, haven't sold their practice yet or haven't transitioned to slow down, it changes them right away. And that's what I love. I love to see people's lives change for the positive.
Yeah, I just love what you're doing. Sean comes from a family of doctors as well, so we understand that, and we've seen his mom, you know, burn out, and it's
tough to, and the amount of hours they're the hardest working people I know. My mom was an OBGYN. I mean, that was
I mean, there's long hours. Yeah. There's rarely a time when you're not like on call.
Correct. And that's really hard. So it was, so in the whole, and luckily we were able to segue, you know, part of their retirement into real estate. And so it's been good. And my brother's a plastic surgeon, so he might have a little bit of a better lifestyle than maybe she did, but it's still the same rat race and chase. But so I had a personal question for you. You describe what's your next, and the book's all about that. I'm setting this up, but I know where we're headed. But the is it a destination? Is it an evolution? Is it a process or journey? Do you hit your next, and then is there another next? And can you explain that or what you're?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and I use the kind of metaphor of, you know, if you've ever gone hiking, you know, in the mountains, wherever, right? And you're at the base of the mountain and you're going to climb, like in Colorado, like I love to climb 14ers. So you're at the base of the mountain and you know, you can see so far up, right? And there's, and so you say, that looks like the crest, right? That looks like the peak. So once you get there, you go, oh, that wasn't it. Yeah. There's because I couldn't see it all, right? Yeah. You can't see it all until you get there. And then, and usually there's like, you know, a few peaks till you finally get to the actual real peak.
Yeah,
well, I think in What's Your Next, it is an evolution. It's not a destination. Mm-hmm. It's an evolution. It is a process. It is a journey where you are constantly given the opportunity and the blessing to reevaluate, you know, your skill sets, your experience, your story, your assets, and utilize the opportunity to make shifts and not just get stuck in this one career or business rut, mm-hmm. right? And the way you make those changes is, again, revisiting your vision individually and as a couple on a regular basis. Because if you don't do that, again, it's so easy to get sucked into, well, we can just do more. We can make more. Mm-hmm. Business is good. Hey, we could do that. We could do that. Yep, you sure can. You can do all those things. Well, you can try them all. But again, is that getting you where you want to go?
Right.
That's why I always come back to like, what are you looking for in life? And that's what I think allows you to make those steps and gives you people the permission where you don't have to get stuck in one pathway till you're 65 to quote, you know, this retirement thing, which I hate that word anyway, but you know, that's, it is a process. A constant process, an evolution, and I don't think it should end until you just
till you die. Yeah,
physically, yeah. Cognitively able to, you know, live your life.
Yeah,
and I think it should never end. Should never.
Do you, you know, if somebody gets, is it hard for people? Was it hard for you as a dentist to leave your identity, like as a?
Was not hard for me, but for many people, you're exactly right. It's very difficult because they've hung their mm-hmm. hat on that title. As you said earlier, I mean, that's who they are. That's their persona. That's what gives them significance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of helping people in a certain way. They show up, they've got staff around them that all need them and they need each other, right? But
right.
I mean, there's this feeling of, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm doing some good. We all want to do good in the world. That's really what we're about, is how do we do good in the world? And when someone's getting ready to take that hat off and all of a sudden they're blank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, like who needs me now? And if you don't feel needed in the world, you don't feel like you're anybody. So a big part of What's Your Next is developing other interests and other skill sets mm-hmm. outside of your primary mm-hmm. focal point.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because I've been developing those all my life, actually, you know, as I said, I started in real estate before I got my license in dentistry. Well, you both know what that takes.
Yeah.
As a real estate entrepreneur, you've got to have leadership skills. Mm-hmm. You have marketing skills. Management skills, business skills, mm-hmm. Knowledge about negotiation, people skills, obviously, legal construct skills. There's so many skill sets mm-hmm. that I learned from real estate that have allowed me to be adaptable and flexible throughout my whole life and just going from dentistry, you know, and then Freedom Founders kind of evolved because I was connected with other people who are doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it goes back to the relationships. Yes. Don't just stay stuck in that one mm-hmm. industry, but you've got to be around other people because the resources, I call it, you know, you're like your digital Rolodex.
Right.
That's such a force multiplier
mm-hmm.
In knowing other people who have other contacts, other resources. And that's what allows you to make the moves from like where you are today to like to your next mm-hmm. Much faster than like going back to school and getting some extra additional degrees. I mean, that's like, I just wouldn't almost tell nobody to do that. There might be a place, but I won't say, people say, well, you know, I need to go back to school. Like, do you really? I mean, do you really? Let's think about that.
Yeah.
Because you could be listening to this podcast right here and probably get way more than you could get in a semester that'd be more
Absolutely.
Valuable and actually put it out on the street where it actually works and not just theory that someone's telling you who's never done it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just one of my other little rants.
No,
I love the rant. And now that we're getting into the rant, so I ask this to all our guests. If someone is thinking of getting started as an entrepreneur, what advice would you give them? Corey's.
Yeah. Well, wherever you are in school, stop that. No. No. Finish your degree. You know, finish that. But again, surround yourself. Create your community. Be a part of other tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, even locally. I mean, find, you know, networking, BNI groups. If you like real estate, you know, real estate investor association groups, meetup groups, online, offline. I mean, plug yourself in. There's EO, Entrepreneur Organization, Vistage. I mean, wherever you are, there's a place for you that the investment in time will work. So if you're just starting out, I mean, there's plenty of online stuff. Start there. Find people who have already blazed a path that you see, not only based on their quote success, but also you know enough about them to know that you like their core values and what they look about life. There's got to be some philosophical
yes.
Connection there. It can't just be they've been all great about making money, because I so many people I know that have a lot of baggage, you know, even though they made a lot of money, it's like, well, was that really worth it? So find those people, because many of those people will be willing to oftentimes be mentors. You know, if you know, find the right people, you know, you've got to invest something, you know, don't ask for free stuff. You know, go be an apprentice. Another book I wrote, you know, for younger people, The Apprentice Model. That book's all about how young people can fast track to figure out where they want to go, like without again, you know, piling degree after degree after degree, which many times is useless by the time you get to the diploma, because the world's changing so fast. Find people who have strong business acumen, skill sets, and just go be an apprentice for 6 months or a year or whatever, just because that kind of wisdom you can't get from school. Sorry, you just can't.
Do you find that, do you encourage younger generation to become an entrepreneur? Do you,
I think it, you know, unfortunately it starts so early in life. And if young people have been indoctrinated, you know, the public school system is created to create workers. That's what it's about, creating workers. There's not an entrepreneurial bone in anything that's being taught in public schools today, to my knowledge. So kids have got to have the confidence and have the mindset that the world is wide open. But most of them aren't getting that. So yes, the ones who ask the question, you know, what should I do? I love to sow into them and say, yes. I mean, take the opportunity. When you're young and you don't have a bunch of responsibilities like family and kids, and you're not pile up a bunch of debt, go for it. I mean, that's your chance to try stuff, and don't take the safe route like I did, where I was like, oh, dentistry, that's after 59,000 years of classes, I finally get to go out. You know, it's like that. See, and I'm not even a dentist today. I mean, what was that all about? Right. Yeah. So, No regrets. Look, again, that was part of my what's your next. So you start with where you are, and but look for opportunities. So associations with other people, I think, is the right people, is one of the fast tracks to move the needle for you.
Yeah. Totally agree. I mean, that's something Sean and I have always done, and that's how we met you. So, you know, and gosh, it's an honor to know somebody that's written a book, a couple books, and an amazing person. And so I totally agree.
I asked that question because I struggle with times, you know, either mentoring or helping, you know, people as an entrepreneur, because I know what Joni and I went through as an entrepreneur and all the sacrifices and falling and the scars and, you know, and I don't know if,
and you have to be comfortable with that.
I don't know how many of them could endure that for as long as we did to get to where we are. So I struggle, like, you know, the pain that they're going to have to go through to get there. And I don't know if sometimes if they're willing or able. So I think that's where I come up with the struggle of even sometimes encouraging you to become an entrepreneur as a young, but I know it provided us, if I had to do it all over again, I would do it. So I guess the answer still is yes, but I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, you're going to fail, you know, every successful person does. And I mean, you got to want it though.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But like, you know, what is life without those challenges? Yes. You need to have the mindset of perseverance, the fact that everything's not going to go right. And again, assuming you're a couple, you're in a partnership and a marriage, even if, whether or not your spouse works directly with you, that's great if that works. If they don't, then hopefully you've got somebody who can run with you, because there are going to be ups and downs and twists and turns. If the other partner is one that requires stability and security all the time, that's going to be hard, because there's times of insecurity. There's times where things are not stable. And so, yeah, you're right. I think it requires a certain mindset, a certain personality, a certain characteristic to determine if a certain person or a couple should take that path, or should they stay in a more, quote, I hate to say the word, you know, secure, stable environment. But to me, that's just not living life.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just curious, with all your experience and knowledge, where do you think the real estate market is today?
Well, we know we have asset bubbles in both the financial and real estate markets. Because to a great degree of this last year's pandemic and the trillions and trillions of dollars that are still being pumped into the market that are looking for yield. I mean, when government tries to distribute money, it typically rarely goes to where it needs to go. And in fact, if you try to force money to certain sectors of the economy, like the war on poverty, something, it's not going to stay. It's going to find its way other places. That's what's happened here. The thing I like about real estate, and I think it's different today than it was back in 2008, is that is particularly what I call essential real estate, solid single family houses or multifamily, self storage. There are, you know, different sectors where there's always going to be a need. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be those needs. That real estate will cash flow even when we have a correction. And that's what I've seen in past corrections. So if you've got essential, well-managed assets that everyone wants, we've seen what COVID did this last year to certain non-essential, hospitality, right? Tourism, but roof overhead, that's main, except in jurisdictions where people are more bent on the victim mentality. So again, you have to be geographically a little bit more discerning about where you invest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I believe that real estate will continue to carry through. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's going to probably be a correction in certain markets. There will be a bigger correction. But if you're investing in the right asset class, in the right price points, you're going to ride through it. And come out, and then the opportunities on the other side, as we know, we've seen it, could be huge. You've just got to get through the gap and be good. So I'm bullish on real estate as much as I've been in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. But just knowing how to do it the right way, mm-hmm. And that again means I think people should associate with other people. It's not a do-it-yourselfer type of thing. Meaning you've got to be plugged with other people, so you're getting understanding from other people, their wisdom and knowledge about if you're doing it yourself, you're building your own portfolio, or you're investing as a passive investor. You got to find people that really are boots on the ground, mm-hmm. that know what's going on. Pulse, you know, they're you true. Can't just read about this stuff or go, you know, get into play bigger pockets. I mean, yeah. Great information, but I mean, you've got to curate your own. Mm-hmm. You've got to find people that really are there to understand what's going on.
And we've talked about that a lot on this podcast. Yes. Having your real estate team.
Yep, that's so crucial.
I'm curious. What do you and will you be willing to share? What's your next? You know, are you, cause I think Joni and I are at a point that I think we've, to be honest, we're probably at one of those peaks and we're looking out and deciding what's really our mm-hmm. true next. And so I would love to hear, I know you did a successful dental practice, then you went on to running a successful mastermind. Do you have a next yet? Is it just continuing?
Well, there's all the iterations. So. As I said, my life is always a work in progress, and I love to do research. I love to create content. Mm-hmm. Writing books has kind of become something I like to do, or articles, or I like to be someone who provokes thought amongst people who will listen. Mm-hmm. I like to provoke thought, and so I get to do that with Freedom Founders. Like any business, a good business, whoever's the leader, facilitator, should always be empowering other people to be stepping into different roles, right? So that's what I'm doing now. So I won't necessarily do everything I do right now in Freedom Founders, which allows me more freedom to do the things I really love to do. So, but I have to, I didn't discover that until I got to this point, right? Mm-hmm. Now what I love to do, I used to love to be more about, you know, like talking about, you know, putting the real estate deals together. Mm-hmm. And I still love that, don't get me wrong. But I've kind of like evolved from like, real estate's an awesome vehicle. We'll always use that in Freedom Founders, right, as a base for annuity income. Mm-hmm. But as you can tell through the book I just published, What's Your Next? I'm kind of about how people take that, their financial, and then like making that more about their whole life. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's what I've experienced and I'm digging back in. So that's kind of where I'm going, is like in sewing back into people of all ages. But gosh, if I could help younger people, because I think we're definitely going through a shift right now, mm-hmm. in this country. Well, the world is, but in this country, we're going through a major, mm-hmm. transformational shift, not just economically, politically, but socially. Mm-hmm. Won't dig in there. We could spend a whole episode on that. Yeah. But we could, right? Yes. But I think to understand that and understand that younger people today, if they're taking a quote traditional path, it's going to be a lot harder. And I think to show them different ways that they could go through life and not just take a traditional path of bootstrapping them down to have lots of debt, uh-huh. And then figuring out, well, where's the jobs? And right. It's like trying to show them a different way. That's where I want to be, you know, continue to be that. So I'll probably focus more on that as my next in the years to come.
That's awesome. So can you hold up your other book that you just mentioned? So
the apprentice model.
So, yeah. I mean, these are two really good, great books. What's Your Next and The Apprentice Model for our listeners. I mean, they're in for a treat today. But any other books you recommend?
Well, I think one of the books that we could probably all say, he's a great marketer and wrote a great book, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes, those are classics.
He, I don't necessarily look to Robert Kiyosaki for my quote investment advice, mm-hmm. but in terms of a marketer and having frameworks, I think spell it out. And so many people have told me, you know, I read Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad or the Cash Flow Quadrants back, you know, 12 years ago. That's a mind shift. And I think if young people read that or play the cash flow game, they start to understand, oh, this is how it works, right? But, I mean, how the real economy works if you want to be independent. So that's probably one of the big ones on my list, just to change the mindset of people who haven't really seen that yet.
Yeah, that's so true. So Sean and I, funny story, we actually were introduced to the cash flow game way back. I think we were like 19, 20 years old. And so while our friends are out partying, you know, we were out there playing cash flow games with like 40 and 50 year olds.
Yeah. So, we had a weird so college. Yeah.
No,
not the ideal
so
college kids for sure.
Yeah, see, you are renegades. Yeah. You are definitely renegades. It's what it takes.
Yeah, exactly. So we appreciate you jumping on this episode. How can people get involved with you or follow you? Is there somewhere they can reach?
Yeah, well, I have a YouTube channel. I think it's Dr. Phelps, Dr. Phelps. I should know, shouldn't I? But, should know that, but you can probably find me there. Yeah. I do a podcast, weekly podcast like you guys. It's the Dentist Freedom Blueprint podcast.
Okay.
You don't have to be a dentist to be on it. I don't talk about dentistry.
Yeah.
I don't even talk about how to whiten your smile. I just leave all that stuff out. we talk a lot about real estate business, the economy, what's going on. So those are probably two good places for people to check in.
If they're interested in your mastermind, are you still accepting applications and growing?
Yeah. We look for people that are, you know, high income, who are looking for, you know, an opportunity to invest passively where we curate for them. So yeah, they can go to freedomfounders.com. More information about the mastermind itself is there.
Cool. Awesome. And then you can get the books on Amazon, I'm assuming, right?
Correct.
Cool.
Awesome.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Phelps, for being with us today. It was a treat for our guests and listeners to listen to you. So thank you.
Yeah. So, if you like the show, please share it, you know, with other listeners. And also, please rate the show. We'd love to hear your feedback. So you can reach us out at InsideTheWolfsDen.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
See you, everyone.
Especially rate this show five stars. I personally need that.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolfsDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.